Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout and Austin Smith. We are the hosts of the Pro Football Scouting Show. This show is brought to you by PigskinNut.com and PigskinNutRadio.com. It is the football news and the football radio that you've been missing. Look, whether you're driving to work, having a nice relaxing evening, it's always better when you get your football fix. This is the place to be. This is going to be the future of football radio, folks. Whether you want to hear scouting reports like me and Austin do on this show, whether you want to get NFL draft coverage, or maybe you just want to hear a podcast about your individual NFL team, we got all that for you. This is the future of football radio. Check us out online at PigskinNut.com and PigskinNutRadio.com. It's the football news and the football radio that you've been missing. Austin, today, you know, we're gonna go over the NFC South and talk about guys in the NFC South that on the offensive side of the ball can break out this year. You ready to talk NFC South and some of these guys that can have some big production in 2019?
Absolutely, because this might be the division with the most turnover in the NFC, because I mean, yeah, I thought it was going to be the most competitive division last year. Obviously, Cam Newton, some injury concerns. Tampa Bay with just a mess at the quarterback situation. And Atlanta's defense just couldn't stay healthy, made it kind of an easy division for New Orleans. But if everybody stays healthy and gets back to playing their best football this year, I think we're going back to this being one of the most competitive divisions of football.
Absolutely. So we're going to start out, you know, with the Atlanta Falcons. On the offensive side of the ball, you know, for me, I'm just not really seeing anyone that I think is going to be a big breakout, big guy that's going to really break out. Who do they got? Julio Jones, you know, Calvin Ridley already, you could say he broke out his rookie year. Maybe he takes another step. I really like the draft picks they made in Caleb McGarry and Chris Lindstrom, but I wouldn't define them as breakout guys yet. I think Austin Hooper is someone that's getting better, but there's really no one on. I'm going to say it, and I don't say it often. I'm not sure if I see anyone on this team right now, and I think that they're going to have a good offense, but I'm not sure if I see anyone yet that really is going to be someone that I feel confident is going to break out in 2019. Austin, you feel any different on this one?
Oh, leave it to me to dig someone up. Yes, I do, and you know what? I think he breaks out because of the limitations of the guy ahead of him on the roster. And we're going to go with Ito Smith, the second year running back out of Southern Miss. This is a kid that is very versatile. And I know my Cowboys were very interested in him coming out of the draft, a kid that can be just as much of a weapon in the passing game as he can the run game. And I know Devontae Freeman has had years where he's been a good running back in this league. But, you know, him and Tevin Coleman, between the two of them, they could never stay healthy. But as long as one of them was on the field, that offense continued to operate pretty darn well. Tevin Coleman's gone. He's off to San Francisco with his old offensive coordinator and Kyle Shanahan. And guess what? You know, they've got to find somebody because Devontae Freeman, he just, you know, something about him, he just, for some reason, he's better when he's part of a duo, and he just can't seem to stay healthy. I know he's not the biggest running back in the world, but, you know, he just – some of them are just little nagging injuries that he just can't ever seem to quite recover from and get back to full strength over the season. So You know, I think Ito Smith, because of Freeman's injury concerns and because, you know, he's a little bit on the smaller side for a back, I think Ito Smith gets a lot more opportunities in this offense, and I think he takes advantage of them. I mean, let's be honest. Anytime you've got guys like Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and the ability they can, you know, the ability they bring to make plays down the field, it's going to open up things underneath. And this is a guy, when there's open space, when he's got room to maneuver, this is a guy that can be an extremely difficult player to get to the ground because of his short area quickness. So, you know, Ito Smith is a guy I really think takes a step forward for them this year. I don't know if he's going to run for the same amount of yards that a guy like Tevin Coleman did, you know, when he was complimenting Devontae Freeman. But I think as a receiver, we're seeing a guy that maybe gets into that Duke Johnson category a little bit where, hey, he could be one of the top three pass catchers on that roster behind guys like Jones and Ridley. And I know Mohamed Sanu's there, and I know guys like Austin Hooper are still there and are still a safety valve for Matt Ryan. But Ito Smith is a talented kid, and he is in the open field. He is not an easy player to get to the ground. So I think Ito Smith really does. I think he takes a step forward as not only the second back on that roster, but the true complement to Devontae Freeman, you know, in that running back duo.
Yep. The Falcons offense, you know, it's explosive. It always was last year. You know, the problem really has been with the defense helping him. But I like the Ito Smith pick there. I like the way that you dig there. We're gonna move on to the Carolina Panthers. Austin, for me, I thought, you know, I had DJ Moore ranked as my number one wide receiver in last year's draft, and he played good his rookie year, and I just think he's gonna take another step up this year. The Panthers have not had a replacement for Steve Smith since Steve Smith has been gone. And I think this is the closest they're going to get. I think this is going to be a guy that's going to make multiple Pro Bowls. And I think, you know, outside of Steve Smith, you know, this, and maybe Greg Olsen too, but you know, this could end up being one of the very best weapons that Cam Newton ever plays with. He's a guy that I really like to take, that I really like to see take another step this year. And I'll say this, you know, if Cam Newton gets hurt and his shoulder, you know, doesn't hold up, I'll tell you this, you know, a lot of people won't see it, but I've seen Will Greer make some incredible throws at the college level, throws that I know that if he makes in the NFL, it's gonna surprise some people. And I think, even in his rookie year, Will Greer, you know, could be a guy that has a big year if Cam Newton's hurt. I wouldn't say he's a breakout star. He's a rookie quarterback, you know, and he wasn't, you know, I think he really should have been a lot higher on people's draft boards. I mean, you look at all the throws he's made over the middle of the field. He may not have the strongest throwing arm. The ball doesn't, you know, scorch off his hands like the way it does a Kyler Murray or a Drew Lock, but he's a gunslinger, and this guy is able to play as a gunslinger. And if you just watch the tape, you see this guy making big time throws over and over again. But the guy that I look at more than anyone else is DJ Moore to take that second step, and I think he'll be, although he had a good rookie year, he'll break out more in year two.
Yeah, you know, DJ Moore's my guy too. You know, and we talk about it. We've talked about it in past episodes, and it's, you know, it is just so difficult for wide receivers in their rookie year to come right in and be a big impact player, because the chemistry you need with a quarterback and the familiarity you need in a system, you know, where timing is as important as ever in these passing attacks, you know, it just doesn't happen at the snap of a finger. It takes a lot of reps. It takes a lot of work. I mean, DJ Moore is, him and Calvin Ridley were neck and neck. I'm pretty sure I had Ridley ranked slightly higher, but I'll tell you right now, they were only like two or three prospects apart on my board when they came out a couple of years ago. So, You know, he is definitely a talented kid, a guy that once the ball is in his hands can really be dangerous. I certainly expect him to be the number one target in that offense. But let me throw out a second name, and it's another pass catcher from last year's draft, and that's Ian Thomas. I'll tell you right now, folks, Ian Thomas was one of my favorite tight ends in last year's class, and I thought there was a good chance that he would be drafted on day two. And with Greg Olsen being, I mean, let's be honest, he's on his last leg. I mean, he has had some serious injury issues over the years. I think Ian Thomas could come in and really be a complete tight end. Hey guys, he can block as well. I mean, that's what I thought he was more ready to do at the NFL level. I thought he was still pretty raw as far as a route runner at the tight end position. But I think Ian Thomas can come in and really be a viable option at the tight end position, can really be a good possession receiver, which is something Greg Olsen's always been for them since he came over from Chicago. So, you know, both Moore and Thomas, I think, take big steps in the right direction, because to be perfectly honest with you, if Greg Olsen goes down, outside of Christian McCaffrey, those are the two most talented pass catchers they've got on their roster. I mean, I get Torrey Smith is there. I've never really been all that impressed with Torrey Smith since he left Joe Flacco in Baltimore. You know, I always thought of him as a one-trick pony. He was a guy that went straight really fast. He couldn't go east. He couldn't go, you know, lateral. He wasn't much of a route runner. And when you put that with Joe Flacco's incredible deep ball, you know, arm, I thought it was just a match made in heaven. He hasn't been the same since. You know, Jarius White, you know, they're bringing in Chris Hogan to kind of be that possession option. Curtis Samuel, you know, don't get me started on him, because he's a guy that honestly I thought was going to be a better running back in the NFL than he was a wide receiver. And Carolina took him, and then, I mean, literally the pick after they took Christian McCaffrey, they took McCaffrey with their first round pick and Samuel with their second. I said, well, I guess he's a receiver then, which is crazy, because the way the running back position is unfolded in the NFL, I really think Samuel could be an Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey type of guy at the running back position. But the bottom line is, I just don't see a ton of talented pass catchers on that roster. So DJ Moore and Ian Thomas, we may get to the end of the season. Those may be the two right there with Christian McCaffrey that are the top three pass catchers on this offense.
Yep. I like that. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about who on the New Orleans Saints could be a breakout offensive star in 2019. For Steve the Scout and Austin Smith, we'll be right back after this commercial break. All right, we're back here. We're talking about the New Orleans Saints and who could be a breakout star on the offensive side of the ball for them. And, you know, I got a guy that really sticks out to me like a sore thumb in terms of a guy that really can take a big step this year. Last year was his rookie year, and everyone's talking about Michael Thomas being, you know, now maybe looked at as possibly even the best receiver in the NFL when you want to look at his complete game and everything he can do. But Tre'Quan Smith is going to give Drew Brees another really good weapon to work with. You know, his rookie season, you know, he didn't really start producing. He wasn't really in the game plan until, you know, a quarter of the way through the season. You know, you had, you know, Michael Thomas, and then, you know, you had Ted Ginn, and then Ted Ginn got injured. And Tre'Quan Smith, look, when you watched Tre'Quan Smith at Central Florida, here's what I saw. I saw a guy that whether you wanted to put him on the outside or whether you wanted to line him up in the slot, he could do damage and he can make contested catches. Does that remind you of someone else in their roster? Yeah, Michael Thomas. So Drew Brees has another really good weapon to go to. And I think with everyone gonna be, you know, Michael Thomas is gonna be getting double teams, I think you're gonna see a pretty huge year from Tre'Quan Smith.
I think in his second year, he goes over 1,000 yards. This is a guy that I really thought I had high hopes for coming out of Central Florida, and I think that he's someone that could take another step. Jared Cook, you know, the tight end they got from Oakland, he's been a good tight end, but I'm just going to say this. He's playing with Drew Brees now, so only better things can happen. But I think above anyone else, Tre'Quan Smith is the guy that I look at here, Austin, as a breakout offensive player for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, you know, I have to admit, I really, you know, I didn't see anybody that necessarily stood out to me other than one player. Obviously, Tre'Quan Smith is definitely going to have plenty of opportunities because you're right. Michael Thomas, I mean, he's one of the top receivers in the NFL. And you said debatably the top receiver in the NFL. Hey, I'll tell you right now, if you gave for me as a Cowboy fan, if you asked me any one wide receiver I would put with Dak Prescott in this league, it would be Michael Thomas, hands down, above anybody else. He is just, I mean, a perfect combination of a possession receiver. And, you know, I don't want to say that he's, you know, a pure deep threat, but yet his ability to play with strength at the point of going up and getting the ball, I think is as good as anybody.
It's incredible. So, it's incredible.
So, I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah. And
I mean, go right ahead.
Yeah. Now, and I'll say, I think, you know, that's what separates him from like a lot of these other guys. Like, I think, you know, Keenan Allen's one of the best in the game. You know, Odell Beckham's one of the best in the game. But, you know, do any of these guys play with the kind of play strength that Michael Thomas does? I don't know.
I mean, that's the thing, you know, everybody, when you think of deep threats, you think of speed. And let me tell you right now, guys, speed is a tricky, you know, aspect to the game when you talk about being a deep threat. Because guess what? There's a lot of guys that can outrun a quarterback's arm strength, you know, within 15 yards. But if you ain't already locked onto him at 15 yards, then by the time the ball comes out, I mean, he's going to be at full speed approaching 20, and with the air you've got to put under it, I mean, he's going to have to come back for it. That's just, you know, a guy like Michael Thomas, man, just the confidence knowing that, hey, this guy can go up and get it, you know, whether he's covered, whether he's, you know, got someone bearing down on him. He's just, you know, he is arguably the top pass catcher in football. So going back to the point, that is going to open up plenty of opportunities for Tre'Quan Smith. I wish I was as confident about his ability to capitalize on those opportunities as you. Really, I look up and down this roster on the offensive side, and the one guy I say, yeah, he's going to step in and have an immediate impact, and he's going to be possibly, if not one of the best offensive linemen on that team, that's rookie center Eric McCoy. And they traded up to get him. They already didn't have a ton of draft picks. They used more to trade up and get him in the second round after the retirement of Max Unger. And Eric McCoy, I think he walks right in there day one. And we talk a lot about Garrett Bradbury and how he was my safest prospect in this draft. At the
McCoy's center. not that far behind him.
McCoy is not that far behind him. And the thing is I think McCoy's coming into a situation where the players around him are all experienced veterans. You know, that's the thing. In Minnesota, they've still got some questions on that offensive line. Heck, Bradbury may have, you know, a rookie starting at guard, maybe even two rookies starting at guard. When you consider both, you know, I'm big on Oli Udo and obviously Drew Samia. But I mean, McCoy, the center position is the one position that right now has, you know, doesn't have a returning starter. So you put a talented player like McCoy into that spot, I think he's going to thrive immediately. And he's really the one I think has the breakout season. I think he does it right off the bat in his rookie year.
Yep. This is,
you know, Eric McCoy, like I said, you know, Garrett Bradbury, we talk about him a lot, but Eric McCoy, I think when you want to look at top five or so offensive linemen in this draft, especially when you want to look at ones, that are NFL ready, you know, he's certainly someone that I would look at there. So we're going to move on now to our final team. And that is a team that, you know, between their two quarterbacks, they did generate a lot of offense last year. They got a brand new coach. Bruce Arians is coming in. He said that part of the reason that he took the job was because of the quarterback, and it was because that Jameis Winston was there. Austin, when I look at this Buccaneers offense, the one guy who above anyone else that I think is going to break out, if I got to look at one guy here, it's going to be Ronald Jones II. Ronald Jones, you know, when you want to look at first step quickness, I thought he had as good of probably the second best first step quickness and explosiveness just to get to the second level of any running back last year. He's a guy that's a burner. He can take it the distance, and you know, he is like a Jamal Charles, reminds me really one of those slashing running backs. When you see him in the open field, he's just incredibly elusive. He has good feet. He gets where he needs to be. And again, out of behind Saquon Barkley, I didn't see any running back last year. And I mean anyone that I thought had as good cutting ability as Ronald Jones. He didn't get a lot of opportunities his rookie year, the running back from USC, but I think certainly, you know, he's the guy that I look at above anyone else to have a breakout year. You know, O.J. Howard's coming into his own. I think he could take another step, but do we really want to call it a breakout? The other guy I'm going to look at is the quarterback here, Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, you know, there are some good young players on this offensive line. You know, it's been criticized, but they do have some good young players there. I think Jameis Winston, you know, people are kind of looking at this as a make or break year for him. To me, despite the mistakes, I still think this is an NFL franchise quarterback. No question about it. Under Bruce Arians, he takes another step this year, and they'll have their three-headed monster. Jameis Winston, Ronald Jones, and Mike Evans. There's some good young players in this offensive line who could play better. But to me, the guy that I think takes the biggest step is a second-year USC running back, Ronald Jones.
Yeah, Steve, you know, I thought about Ronald Jones because when he was drafted in Tampa Bay, you know, I really did think that – I mean, it was a really good fit. Obviously, Tampa Bay didn't have they still don't have much talent at the running back position other than Jones. So kind of even if it's, you know, by default, this is a guy who's going to get a lot of touches on, you know, in that run game and can be a factor in the pass as well. So, you know, he was somebody I thought about. You know, you're singing the Jameis Winston praise. Believe you me, I've sang that song before too. I had an extremely high grade on him coming out. At this point, I can't say I've completely written him off, but I'm not far away from it. You know, this is just a guy that, you know, he's not. He's not a moron. For all those out there that think that this guy just, you know, just can't, you know, process things, whether it's his decisions on the field or off, this guy is extremely intelligent. And I think that makes it all the more frustrating. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, it really is, you know, it is put up or shut up time with him. And, you know, unfortunately, I've defended him, you know, at least his football abilities I've defended for quite a while, and at this point, I just don't know if he's able to be the player we need. And I'll say this much too: one of my two players I'm going to talk about here, Chris Godwin, was a breakout player last year. Chris Godwin was a guy that, or was supposed to be anyhow, he was supposed to be a guy that with DeSean Jackson's speed and Mike Evans as the number one target in that offense, Chris Godwin was going to see a lot of third corners covering him. And he is a very talented football player and had a really good training camp. People thought he was going to come out and just, I mean, make this offense absolutely soar with their ability to throw it anywhere on the field to any one of their targets and have big play potential out of it. So, you know, Chris Godwin did not live up to that because of all the chaos that was going on at the quarterback position. A lot of people thought, you know, Fitzpatrick needed to be back in that spot. A lot of players in that locker room thought it. And so, you know, Chris Godwin didn't live up to that, but maybe this is the year if Winston is going to be the starter for 16 games, maybe this is the year that Chris Godwin does do that. The one that I put head and shoulders above anybody on that roster for a breakout candidate is a guy you mentioned, O.J. Howard. I think he asserts himself as one of the top handful of tight ends in this league. And with Rob Gronkowski, you know, retired now, that group right now kind of consists of Travis Kelce, you know, obviously George Kittle came in a big way, and Zach Ertz just had a monster year last year and has been in that conversation for a few years now. But those three are kind of the big three, and I think O.J. Howard puts his name in that category. I think he is a target that whether or not Winston, you know, develops, you know, into the type of player he can be or not in this final year of his contract, O.J. Howard is just such a big target and such a good possession option that, you know what, hey, Winston doesn't have to be all that much better than he's been for O.J. Howard to be a better, you know, to have a breakout year. So this is a guy that he's had some injury issues early in his first 2 years, but 16.6 yards per reception, not only his first year, but his second year as well. I mean, he hit it spot on 2 years in a row. That is a huge number for a tight end. And I think, you know, he's only had 60 receptions to this point in his career. I think O.J. Howard has more than 60 receptions this year if he stays healthy. I think that 16.6 average, I think, you know, that's, I'm not going to say he's going to continue to live up to that high mark, but I think it's pretty spot on for him again as a third year player. And I think this is a guy who's not only a Pro Bowl caliber tight end this year. I think, like I say, he elevates his game to be in that top tier of tight ends, which, like I say, right now it only consists of three players in my mind. So O.J. Howard is the one that I really think has a big breakout season for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, and I think O.J. Howard's ready to stake his claim as one of the best tight ends in the NFL. So that's going to wrap up everything we have on, you know, NFC South offensive players that we think can break out in 2019. We got one more show in this. We're going to cover the NFC West. Maybe one of the two or three most interesting divisions in football right now. For Steve the Scout and Austin Smith, we're signing off. For more information, you can go to pigskinnut.com or pigskinnutradio.com. We are the football news you've been missing.